It's great to have you here today. We're talking about holiness, and yesterday we finished our tour through Exodus and Leviticus, two books in the Bible's Old Testament. I hope you found our time spent there worthwhile and productive for helping you understand how God's holiness affects our holiness. But one or more of you might say, that's all Old Testament. I mean, Exodus and Leviticus. We're a New Testament people, Mark. Does Jesus speak about this? What does the rest of the Bible say? I hear you. And so today I want to take us over into the Bible's New Testament to listen to what God has to say about being holy. This will be a sampling of several texts. I will not have time to go down deep into each one, but as usual, if you have any questions, you can email me with those. mark@markaswallow.com. The weekend may give you some free time to send such an email, and I look forward to receiving yours. mark@markaswallow.com. And that will be repeated again later. So let's begin today with the words of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible handy, turn to Matthew chapter 5. In this chapter, Jesus has begun his famous teaching, the Sermon on the Mountain. This central teaching in the ministry of Jesus spans three chapters in Matthew. It can be read in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. If you're within the sound of my voice and you do not know much about what Jesus believed and taught, then check out these chapters. Get that old dusty Bible down from your shelf or get the Bible online and plug in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. It won't take you long to read, but after reading this, you'll have a deeper understanding of Jesus and the message he gave. In the final verse of Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus says something that's almost impossible to accept. I still remember hearing about this as a teenager and having my eyes nearly pop out of my head as my mind simply could not grasp all of what Jesus meant. In Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus says, "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Let me read that again. This is Jesus speaking. "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." I understood the second part of his statement. God is perfect. I've never had any problems accepting that. In order for God to be God, God must be perfect. But I don't know any perfect people. And I can definitely say with confidence that I am not perfect. In fact, I am nowhere close to being perfect. But when Jesus speaks, we listen, and this is what he said we are to be. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, perfection is the highest possible standard. You cannot have a higher standard than perfection, and God is the standard. Jesus says your heavenly Father is perfect. God is perfect. This is Jesus' way of saying God is holy. Holiness is perfection, and that we too must be holy. This echoes Deuteronomy 18 and verse 13. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. There, the synonym for perfection is blameless. And Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2 that we looked at the other day. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The words perfect, blameless, and holy go together. And Jesus is saying what God is saying because Jesus is God. You and me, we are to be holy. We are to be perfect. So yes, my friends, the New Testament speaks to our holiness, and it is Jesus, the very Son of God, who tells us that you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So please get this on your mind. These are the words of Christ. Print that out and think about it. You know how imperfect you are, but Jesus is inviting you to be perfect. Think about that. This at church this weekend, looking around at all those other sinners, some of whom you really do not very much like. Let's face it. That person over there is to be perfect. You are aware of their imperfection, but just imagine that he or she is perfect. Now, you might want to know more here. Tell us more. What did Jesus really mean? Well, I'll not say more about this passage today because that's not our purpose. I want to move on and share with you some other New Testament passages that deal with our holiness. But here are two suggestions, should you want to know more. One, take Jesus at his word. Accept this at face value. Jesus is saying exactly what he means. If Jesus says that we are to be perfect, then we are to be perfect. 2, if Jesus' statement fascinates you or disturbs you, talk about it with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Ask your pastors about it. And, of course, you can drop me an email if you want to ask a question or just know more. Now let's keep this in sequential order. So come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and remember what we're doing today. I'm showing you some New Testament texts that echo God's word in the Old Testament. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Is our holiness as much of a concern to God in the New Testament as it was in the Old Testament? Yes, it is. And so far we have seen that Jesus certainly thought so, as does the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote 2 letters to the church at ancient Corinth, a very real historical place that you can visit today in the nation of Greece. I've been there several times. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, Paul writes this, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Did you hear our key word in there? Paul says, perfecting holiness. Indeed, the New Testament stresses that we be holy. In fact, here, Paul puts the words perfecting and holiness together. And we can read this as complete, accomplish, perfect, a holy or sanctified state of being. The Apostle Paul says that we will complete, accomplish, perfect a holy and sanctified life. Holiness very much mattered to the Apostle. Again and again in his letters within the Bible, you will see the theme of holy living. And by the way, here in this passage, Paul says that we must cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, and then there will be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Each believer must do the cleansing from all defilement. And that word defilement should remind you of what we read in Exodus and Leviticus, such as defiling oneself with the worship of idols, idolatry. To defile oneself is the opposite of being holy. Defilement and holiness cannot go together. Holy people are not defiled people. And Paul talks also about flesh and spirit. In short, he means body and mind. So cleanse yourself from all, emphasis all, defilement or sin of body and mind, completing, accomplishing, perfecting a holy and sanctified life. Can more be said about this verse? Absolutely, a lot more. But today my purpose is just to show you that God takes holiness seriously in the New Testament as he did in the Old. And so, with the clock ticking, let's move on to what I call a premier New Testament passage on being holy. And this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. The Apostle Peter has written letters as well, and 1 Peter is written to multiple Christ followers spread across these various areas: Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 17 for us. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth." Now that's a fairly long passage to read, but did you hear what I hear? In verse 16, the Apostle Peter quotes God from the Old Testament book of Leviticus, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And since Peter is writing this to people who are already following Christ, what he does is to tell them how to live holy lives. He knows this is possible because they are in Christ. Christ has made their holiness possible. But how do they live it? What do they actually do that is practical so that they will practice holiness? Well, just by way of overview, I see 5 things. 5 action steps. 5 things they can do. 1, prepare your mind for action. 2, keep sober. 3, put your hope in Jesus, not in the things of this world. 4, obey God. And 5, do not conform to former lusts. Here's a little homework that you could do over the weekend. Do you mind if I give you some? Take up your Bible and reread 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 17 a few times. Maybe read it 3 times, maybe read it 5 times or more. And see if you can find the following 5 practical ways that Christians can live holy lives. And then spend some time thinking about how each one of these can be lived out in your own life. And then talk about what you learn with another believer, maybe someone in your church, a friend, maybe someone who also listens to God Is. Compare notes, share ideas, challenge one another, and hold one another accountable to live this way for God in your life today. So let me give you the 5 again. These are from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. 1. Prepare your mind for action. 2. Keep sober. 3. Put your hope in Jesus, not in the things of this world. 4. Obey God. And 5. Do not conform to former lusts. These are all within 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Is our holiness as much of a concern to God in the New Testament as it was in the Old Testament? Yes, it is. And so far we have seen that Jesus certainly thought so, as does the Apostle Paul, and now the Apostle Peter. Jesus, Paul, Peter. Yes, obviously the significance of being holy spans the entire Bible, both Old and New Testaments. God wants us to live holy lives. Well, we have learned a lot again this week from our great God in His great Word. Indeed, He is holy, and we must be made holy. Thank you for being with me. I hope you enjoy your weekend, and then please come back again on Monday as together we continue to learn who God is.